Fire Generation. We are a youth group located in Miami. The address is 8833 Northwest 107th Street. We want to encourage you to have a relationship with God and to get to know Him more every day. You can locate us at Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter. And now, a word from God.
All right, we have another testimony here. Let's give it up for Shayla. Okay, this is another special guest we have today. She's going to share with us what God has done in her life. Okay, you want to introduce yourself to for those of you that don't know Shayla?
Hi, my name is Shayla.
How old were you? Okay, let's start. I honestly don't know her background. Were you born into a Christian home or not?
No. We were Catholic. You know, Cubans, we were Catholic. We believed in, you know, Santeria and all those things.
No, not Cubans, no. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we had everything. We had, like, the little saints in the closet. We put, like, candy and fruits,
what,
everything.
What were, when you had knowledge of those things, what were you thought by your parents, you know, to do with those things, with the Santeria? What did they teach you, you know, those things do? Or did you have to worship them? You know, what did you have to ask them for things? What did your parents teach you that those things did?
Well, you know, we believe that we didn't even have to go. Well, there was the Jesus, there was the God, but there was also these saints. And we go to them instead of going to Jesus. That they could give us anything you wanted, you know. You could do whatever you want, and then you just repent for what you did, and it'll be okay.
Okay, so you can go get yourself messed up, go to clubs, do drugs, do alcohol, but everything was okay. You just repent, but everything was okay afterwards.
Yeah, basically, wow. That was it. So then my dad was an alcoholic, so it was like drinking every day.
You guys, would your mom give, you know, be praying to those gods for changing your dad?
No, because we thought that was normal. You know, that was the custom of, you know, going to parties, you know, having el puerco, everything. It was just normal thing, cerveza por acá, cerveza por allá. It was just a normal thing. Even my mom drank as well. And they both smoked a lot every night, like boxes and boxes. And basically, their marriage was falling apart. That's basically it.
So none of those saints and none of those beliefs that they had was helping actually the home. Actually, it was breaking it up more.
Yeah.
Little by little.
Yeah, because even though we had it, even though we had it in the closet, we had the pictures, nothing was going how it was supposed to go, you know.
Did you ever have to give, because I know there's some, and I'm telling you because I saw this lady, did you know some of those things where you ask them for something and then you give them candy or maybe put money to their where they are?
Yeah.
Did they teach you to do those things too?
Yeah, it was, you know, my mom's closet, so you would see like an apple, and then he's like, oh yeah, I'll eat it later on. Don't worry, leave the apple there. And then you'll get whatever you're asking for.
Did you notice throughout this time that you guys were doing or serving, you know, by ignorance, those gods? Were there any changes when you asked for changes?
No, there was really nothing. You know, everything was the same. They were still arguing. They were still fighting, the drinking, the parties, you know, 2 a.m. screaming at each other. It was just the same thing.
And how, as a teenager, was this affecting you?
It was breaking us apart. Like, I remember just crying all the time. My mom asking me, who are you going to choose to stay with if you, you know, when we split apart? Who are you going to choose, me or your dad?
Wow, amazing.
Yeah. I was actually 11 when that happened, and it was, she asked me, we're just alone, and she's like, who are you going to choose? And I didn't know anything about God or Jesus or anything like that. I just knew what my grandma told me, that there was somebody up there and that he listened to you. And I remember going inside the bathroom and just getting on my knees and begging to something up there to save my family, to save us, because I knew that it wasn't going to work out, that it was, you know, everything. We were going to divorce.
Wow. So everything, you know, that you were taught before knowing God was actually breaking the home. How did you or your family get to know Jesus?
Well, My dad was actually drunk watching TV, and as he switched to the channels, he stopped and saw Maldonado, Pastor Maldonado preaching. And he said that he just couldn't switch the channel, that it was, he caught his attention, what he was preaching about. And then towards the end, they always give you a number to call for prayer. And he didn't know why, but he wrote down the number and he called.
And he was drunk. Guys, look at the power of God. The man was drunk. He was able to write, and he was able to call. Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah. Well, he called, and he started crying, and he was saying, I need help. I really do need help. And the next morning, he went to church alone. And he got transformed immediately. Like, he stopped drinking, he stopped smoking, and then all of us were like, oh, my God, he's crazy. That's what we thought. We were like, something's wrong with this man. My mom was like, oh, be other. That's it. It's over the edge. This is going on.
You see what I was telling about? Sometimes God transforms people like this. Others, you know, it takes a little process. And every day we're learning. I mean, every day until we're up there, he's working on us. He's working us. Nos está sharpening us. Wow, tremendo. And you as a teenager, what has God done in your life? You know, what do you see different now than you see back then?
Well, you know, God restored my life and my life itself. Yeah.
When did He actually come real to you? Because I know some teenagers, you know, don't believe. They come out, oh, man, church. Oh no, man, my mom is bringing me again to church, pushing me to church. But when did He really become real to you as a teenager?
From that moment that I was in that bathroom floor and I was asking for Him, and I begged Him. We went to church the first time. Even though I was 11, I knew this is something real. I felt the presence of God when we went up there, the four of us, and when we accepted Jesus, the four of us. And I could truly say that I felt the presence. Even though I was so young, you know, I knew that this is something real, something that changed my life, that helped save my family.
Amen. Look at that. 11 years old, guys. Look at the power of God. And a drunk man. That's the power of God. And now that you've gone through all this a few years, what can you tell the people that probably are not walking yet? Because, you know, some people are new, others are probably older, been more in church, but still have not really had encounter with God, with the Holy Spirit. What can you tell them?
Okay, what I can say is that, you know, God is just, he is real. He really is, and He can change your life if you open yourself up to it. Okay, if you really do open yourself and you say, you know, God, I need you. He is going to be there for you, and He is going to come and change your life and transform your life. It's not going to be easy, but it's the one way. It's the true way to God.
Amen. Amen. So here you listen to a second testimony, and this was really a different one. You know, God does works differently in people, and as you can see, there's no limit to the things God can do with anybody. It doesn't matter if you're in the pitfall. It doesn't matter if you're crawling, literally crawling. Doesn't matter, you know, where you come from. God sees you. If you really humble yourself and open your heart to Him, He can do miracles in your life. But the problem, you know what it is? Pride. That's what the problem is. We got too much pride in us and think that God cannot do anything for us. If you think you're a bad dude, hey, Jesus was a bad dude because He died for you. Who of any of you who here is going to give the life for you? Tell me. Anybody here is going to give the life for you guys? I won't. Not even I will give my life for you guys. He did. He's the baddest of the baddest. Amen? Thank you, Shayla, for giving us a testimony. Tremendo testimony. Next, we have Alex. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, guys, if you have your Bibles, open up Matthew 22:21. Do we have Bibles? Oh, modern technology there, Jose. All right. Okay, guys. In Matthew 20, who can read Matthew 22:21 for me?
Caesar's, they replied. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God that belongs to God.
Amen. In that passage, you know what they were trying to do to Jesus? They were trying to ridicule him. Because, you know, the Pharisees who call themselves so being so religious, they wanted to catch Jesus in anything, in any little thing. So you know what they say? They showed him a coin and said, who should they serve? You know, as far as like payments, taxes, and concern. And what do you say? Hey, who's the emblem here? It's Caesar. Give Caesar what Caesar and give God what belongs to God. Which means you pay your taxes, you pay your debts to men, but you have to give God what belongs to God. Amen? Even Jesus, you know, was submissive into that and letting them know that just because he was Jesus, you know, they didn't mean that, you know, we didn't have any responsibility with government. We have responsibility with government. We still do. You work, you got to pay your taxes. And you know that they take away your taxes. They don't even ask you. They just take it from you. They don't even ask you anything. They take things from you. So remember that always.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, but I believe that you died on the cross for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.